Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we learn the halachas of Bris Milah, of circumcision. The Torah tells us that a Jew boy who's born Jewish requires to have a circumcision at the eighth day. This means to say is that there is an extra layer of skin over the male organ, which is at the very top, and that needs to be removed as at the eighth day of a child's, of a baby boy's life. Let's just learn some of the halachas. We're going to look at a few areas of halacha. First, the obligation and the appointment of a mohel. So who is obligated to circumcise a Jewish boy? The responsibility is squarely upon the father and the mother to circumcise a child, but specifically the father. And there he must do it or appoint another person in his stead to do that mitzvah. If, God forbid, a father never does this, it falls upon Beis Din. And if Beis Din don't do this, it falls upon the person themselves. And this could be years later. Many times people realize this and then it's incumbent upon themselves. What actions does the father perform to show that the circumcision is being done by his agency? So first he hires the mohel, but it's customary for him to place the child on the sandek's lap. The sandek is holding the child and hands the knife to the mohel. Oftentimes you'll see a mohel doing this correctly will give the knife to the father, who will then give it back to the mohel. And then he also stands alongside the mohel during circumcision, much like the Vilna Gaon points out, is done with a korban, where the owner is not qualified to do this shechita many times, but will stand by next to the kohen as he gives it over to the person who's qualified to do this. What bracha does the father say recite the bris? So he says, "Asher ki dishadu mitzvah tzivanu lachnisa b'risa shel Avraham Avinu," that Hashem commanded us to bring this child into the covenant of Avraham Avinu. It's interesting that the mohel would say a separate bracha al hamila just before he cuts the foreskin. The father says this bracha right after it is said. Is there a preferred type of mohel in sandex? Yes, one should choose somebody who is righteous and obviously a person who is a mohel who is qualified. Can one give sandek ka'os, holding the child, to someone who did it before? The answer is yes, but not for somebody who did it in the same family. Why is that? So this is compared to the person who is the sandek, is holding the child during the bris, is considered to be like the representing the mizbeach, the altar upon which a korban is brought, and specifically the korban of ketores and chadashim la ketores, that we know that the halacha is that there's so many wonderful blessings associated with the person who brought the ketores, the incense, that it was only given once to each kohen once. So in each family, a sandek should not be the same person for the same set of siblings. May I appoint somebody a mohel and then change my mind and give it to somebody else? The answer is no. We're not allowed to tell somebody that they're going to do something and then retract from that as well. What happens if the appointed mohel left town and it looked like he wasn't going to return? In that case, if he does return, then it goes back to the first mohel who should be doing it, because one, it should be honoring one's word. Now, let's move to the next concept, just customs during the bris. What is the custom for those attending the circumcision? So when the child is brought into the room, they should stand up throughout the ceremony as well. And why is this? It says because that all the people stood by the covenant, and except for the sandek and the person who holds the baby as well. What is said by the people who hear the father's bracha? So well, first, before even getting to the bracha, when the baby is born in the room, they say Baruch Abba. And they welcome in with a few psukim relating to Eliyahu HaNavi. But after the father says his bracha, everybody responds and says, "Amen." Kishen shenichnas bris kenikon es Torah chupa lamaasim tovim. As this child enters the bris, she brought into Torah chupa and maasim tovim. It's a blessing given to the child at that time. Is it customary to make a feast to the day of the bris? Yes, because it's a mitzvah where we are told sasa nechiel imrasecha kamoise shalom rav. I am celebrating on your mitzvahs, and the sason is referring to milah, the bris milah. One is supposed to make it a day of celebration. What if one can afford a feast, but one only gives minimal refreshments like coffee? So in that case, it's not proper conduct. If one can afford to do a beautiful feast, we celebrate the things that are important to us enough. If we can celebrate sports games, and we spend a lot of money on those, well, certainly we can celebrate mitzvahs, which are very important. Are the invitees obligated to attend a bris milah feast? The answer is yes. If worthy individuals are present, one is obligated to attend the feast, which is generally why the Baalei HaSimcha do not specifically invite others. They don't say, "You should come," because if a person is invited and they don't come, it's considered a problem. What is the custom regarding a Friday night before the bris? This is called a Shalom Zachar, and that it's done with fruit and drinks, and is considered a mitzvah for people to share in Torah as well. What about the custom of the night before the bris? So there's in Yiddish there's what's called Wachtnacht, where they come to the home and they some children sing and say Shema Yisrael and Malach HaGoel, and there's food and drinks and Torah study. In the Sephardic tradition, it's what's called a Brit Yitzchak, the night before the Zohar is studied, passages surrounding the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and Torah is shared. There's a meal. The reason for these is there's many different reasons, but one of the main reasons is because when a big mitzvah is about to be done, a child's about to be brought into being part of Klal Yisrael, there's a lot of kitrug or spiritual friction, and so this gives the fortification, the protection for the child to undergo this process in good health. We look at the third and last concept today, and again the Kitzur is doing a very simple analysis over here. This is not all the halachas, but he's talking to the average person as to these are things to be aware of. So the third concept is the health of the child or the infant. What qualifications does Master Moel have? He must be knowledgeable in all the laws of circumcision, and he must examine the infant's health beforehand. What is the role of the midwife or the nurse? So they see anything which is of concern to them in the infant, they should inform the Moel right away and speak to the doctor, and they should discuss whether or not the bris can take place at the time. Should a child who may be ill be circumcised? The answer is absolutely not. We have to be very, very careful with the health of a child, and therefore consulting with the doctor and the Moel, if there's even a suffix, a concern about the child, then the delay of the bris should be done as well. What happens when the child becomes well again? So the bris should be done right away. In some cases, we wait 7 days, may ace la ace, if it was a very serious health concern before doing the bris milah. May the circumcision, unless the child wasn't well and then they recovered, may the circumcision be delayed for festivities or reasons that, you know, just convenience when people can make it. The answer is no. Once the baby is fit, the mitzvah should not be delayed whatsoever at all. If it's a bris which is not on the 8th day and it turns out that Shabbos is the day that the baby recovers or Yom Tov, you cannot do a bris she'eino bizmano on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. That does not push aside Shabbos and Yom Tov. You can only do a bris on Shabbos and Yom Tov if it is in fact the 8th day. What if a woman has, God forbid, lost two sons to circumcision? So there was some sort of condition you considered, maybe hemophilia or something, that led to this. In that case, the third son should not be circumcised until he grows older to avoid that health concern. What if a woman and her sister both lost a son to circumcision? Then all the sisters should avoid doing circumcision right at that point in time until they're a little older to avoid that health concern. What if an infant dies before their bris, God forbid? In that case, they still get a bris milah, but it's done before they are buried, and it's done without a bracha. This is to avoid the disgrace of being buried without a bris, and also a name is given as a zecher for that child. What if a child was buried uncircumcised and was discovered shortly afterwards that they didn't do it? So they can exhume the child within a short amount of time to be able to do the circumcision, but if the delay is after a few days, then the grave should not be opened up. We should never have to know about these halachas, but these are halachas that also underscore the significance and importance of a bris. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful